In this pen and ink sketch, Marie Antoinette is depicted by Jacques-Louis David as a hag. During the events of the first few years of the French Revolution, she had aged considerably. Separated from her two remaining children, she was accused of many things, with the one charge she found most offensive being the charge that she had engaged in incestuous relationships with her oldest, now dead, son in an effort to kill him in his weakened state of advanced tuberculosis. At her trial, she was accused by her youngest son, who had been removed from her care and placed in the charge of a cobbler for a quote-unquote untainted and retraining upbringing as a commoner, and had been coached in his story by the committees of investigation and safety led by David and Robespierre of incest. Before her trial, she suffered many things. She was stripped of her name, again, and was renamed the Widow Capette. Her husband was executed, her best friend was raped, humiliated, decapitated, quartered, and her body parts paraded in the streets. Her hair turned white nearly overnight, and had then fallen out, again. Her husband's sister and closest family member was also imprisoned, awaiting execution. She suffered from terrible stomach cramps, due to that undiagnosed illness, that progressively got worse during her imprisonment. Her daughter was sent to Austria as a prisoner. And finally, the former Queen of France was trundled around the city on display in an open cart like a prize veal, and then executed via the guillotine. After her death, her son was put in prison and left there to die. Her last recorded words to her executioner, "I beg your pardon, sir. I didn't mean to." While climbing the stairs in the purple shoes that she carried with her from the palace at the beginning of the French Revolution to the executioner's square at the end of her life, she had accidentally stepped on his foot. Even in her last words, Marie Antoinette's character was questioned. Had she apologized because she was truly a genteel woman who naturally apologized when she tread on someone's foot? Or had she meant to manipulate the executioner into ensuring the guillotine was successful on its first pass, thus saving her from a long and painful death? Pierre-Paul Proudhon and other post-revolutionary developments. Despite the fame of Jacques-Louis David, there were other artists in France at the time. Younger than David, but just as gifted at creating art of the revolution, was an artist named Pierre-Paul Proudhon. Proudhon had been trained outside of Paris. He was an amazing portraitist, and this skill stood him in good stead, as portraits were always in demand, and were a good source of income during a time when there were few patrons for more expensive types of art. Art sales of all kinds had declined as the revolution raged, as poverty grew. But portraits were a cheaper form of art and were popular as family mementos. Proudhon's work was largely overlooked for a long time, as a strong ability to master chiaroscuro was undervalued until the rise of Romanticism in the 1800s. The neoclassical tradition of the late 1700s valued strong contour lines, but Proudhon's work focused on rendering the shifting values of light and dark across the figure. However, he was still a sought-after artist in his time. In Proudhon's chalk and charcoal drawing of a female nude, it is clear to see how he blends the rules of neoclassicism with his own approach to the rendering of soft values. The contour lines of the elbows, knees, and nose are strong against the background, while the soft tonal shifts of the abdomen lend a three-dimensional rendering to this image. By deepening the dark values of the thigh and lower leg of this model, he allowed the lighter areas of the piece to emerge more strongly, giving a real suggestion of light and shadow and reflected light. Neoclassicism tended towards a flatter style that utilized contour line more strongly, but in this piece it is clear that Proudhon, trained in the neoclassical style, had intentions to take it beyond its boundaries. Robespierre came to power in 1793, and for 11 months terror rained down in Paris. 17,000 people were executed, including the king and queen. Eventually, Robespierre's cruel reign came to an end, and he and his supporters were removed from power, with Robespierre being arrested, tried, and executed. Alexandre de Beauharnais, the first husband of a woman named Josephine, was tried and executed 5 days before Robespierre's execution. De Beauharnais was arrested for being suspiciously aristocratic and not leading the troops to victory during battle. Yes, actually. Those not involved in the battle felt, if he had really wanted to, he could have managed to win, but because he didn't win, that was seen as evidence that he was a traitor. His wife, Josephine, usually called Rose, was also arrested, but was eventually released. This Josephine would later become the wife of a 26-year-old Napoleon Bonaparte, a political figure and officer at the time. The Directory was established in 1795. It was a body of 5 directors who were executives of the French government. The governing bodies of France were somewhat democratic during the Directory, but failed within 4 years due to civic discontent, lack of cooperation between political parties, extended wars for gain, and financial ruin. The Directory had promised to uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution hadn't been written with money and corrupt officials in mind. The impact on the arts of this short period was the creation of the Directoire style. The repertoire style was a neoclassical fashion and interior design, and its development was mostly limited to just those two areas. The other fine arts largely maintained their neoclassical all-the-time aesthetic. Jacques-Louis David had been thrown in prison following the arrest of Robespierre and had managed to be released without being executed after a few years. But the France he was released into was not the France of the Revolution he had left. No longer on the wealthier side of the Revolution, he painted The Intervention of the Sabine Women, a painting he had started planning out while in prison, and he charged admission for people to see it. This was a scandalously undemocratic handling of art, and there was much talk about paying to see art. Art was for the people. However, this piece wasn't created for a patron, as most pieces were, and David needed money, so he devised the plan to charge admission to recoup his costs. At this point in time, the Academy had been defunct for years, so the rules regarding free admission and democratic access to art no longer applied. The painting also brought David to the attention of Napoleon.